This podcast is sponsored by Ramp. Are you the decision maker in your company? Consider this. For the first time in decades, there's a better option for a corporate card and spend management platform. Meet Ramp, the only corporate card and spend management system designed to help you spend less money so you can make more. Most corporate credit cards offer points as incentives, but those points amount to less than their worth in real cash value. Ramp's business cards offer you cash back, real money in your pocket. Plus, you control who spends what with each vendor. And Ramp software collects and verifies receipts automatically, which means you'll stop wasteful spending and close your books in hours instead of days. Businesses that use Ramp add up to 5% to their bottom line the first year. If you're a decision maker, adding Ramp could be one of the best decisions you've ever made. And now get $250 when you join Ramp for free. Just go to ramp.com/easy. ramp.com/easy. ramp.com/easy.
Cards issued by Sutton Bank and Celtic Bank, members FDIC. Terms and conditions apply.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Here we go!
There's only four words.
This is Something Something Broncos.
This one's for Pat!
Let's go! Can you smell the
salt? There's only one person that carries the ball right here.
Yeah. Tim Tebow back in the system.
Yes, sir!
Oh, my God.
Denver's got a touchdown.
Kicked off by the Broncos.
Kicked
off!
The
all-pro Justin Simmons.
You hit and share!
Featuring Mike DeCicco. And Jess Place.
Let's go, son! Let's go!
Welcome to Something Something Broncos.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Draft Day 3, Something Something Broncos on the Mile High Broncos Podcast Network. Joining me today, not Mike DeCicco. He is not here. He is on assignment. However, I have Lori Lattimore-Volkman and Christopher Hart of Your Mile High Report here today to kind of break down yesterday's draft action and kind of a preview of today's draft action. So, Chris, how did it feel? Jonah Ellis, extra S.
I wasn't surprised by the pick. All offseason, I kind of wrote about how the Broncos were going to probably upgrade their edge position group. Jonathan Cooper and Baron Browning from Ohio State are both free agents at the end of the season, so it only made sense to add to that room. Jonah Ellis was a little bit of a surprise for me. I had him more of a day three grade, but his father, Luther Ellis, played in the league for a long time, actually 9 years with the Lions, and also 1 year in 2004 with the Denver Broncos. The thing to like about him more than anything is how athletic he is. Historically, with three-cone drill testing for edge players, he beat out Von Miller by 1/100 of a second for the fastest three-cone drill in the history of the combine. So he's super athletic. He's got a wicked spin move. He can get pressure out of different alignments, whether it's on the outside, being on the inside, etc. So that's really exciting to have. But my concern is he's quite similar to the other players that we have in the room. I thought if the Broncos were going to go with an edge, they might have someone who was a little bit better at setting the edge and being a run defender, but I'm okay with the selection. He has three brothers in the NFL who are all doing pretty decently, so the bloodlines play into there. He's a prototypical Sean Payton player with being physical, hard nose, comes from football. So fans should be excited about it. Him with Nick Bonino, Baron Browning, and Jonathan Cooper, that's a good four. It maybe means that also Drew Sanders will get a chance to shine on the inside as opposed to being on the outside. So it's kind of a pretty good situation. So that's not too bad for the Broncos.
Lori, did you have any feelings on the pick?
I love it when we draft like high-end athletes. I mean, sometimes it may not work in our favor if they really need to you know, have more position skills. But this guy is kind of an athletic freak. And I, you know, like Chris said, that really fits Sean Payton's style of being aggressive. And I love an aggressive defense. So, yeah, I'm on board. Let's do it.
I like the pick myself. I know nothing about any of these guys until we draft them. And then I'm like, and then I either fall in love or I get super skeptical. And I have to say, I'm maybe falling in love.
You know, he's kind of a local kid too, because after his dad, you know, played in 2004, that was his 10th and final season in the league. They kind of settled in around the Colorado area, and a couple of his brothers went to Highlands Ranch and lived there at Valley Christian. So there were a lot of local connections to this. So if the Broncos were able to do their diligence on any of these guys and get a lot of good information, it would be him. And, you know, you kind of look at the history of selections where you see family dynasties with players in the NFL. I mean, I look back at Patrick Surtain, and we talked about him on a couple pods ago. If you've got a young player whose father was in the league for 10 years, your brothers have been in the National Football League for several years, you kind of maybe have an advantage going into the rigors of what it's like to be a pro. So, you know, a lot of the game comes down to the mental side of it. And can you handle the stress, the pressure? Are you a good trainer? Are you diligent in your craft every day? Do you show up on time? it's a very important thing to kind of have a good structure and approach and a plan, you know, outside of how you perform on the field. And obviously he's been around football his whole life. So the chances of this being a bad pick, in my opinion, or busting out are probably quite slim. I mean, he played a lot of special teams his first couple of years there, but this past season, he only played in 10 games because he did suffer a torn labrum 10 games into the season. But in 10 games, he had 12 sacks and 16 tackles for loss. That's incredible production. So the Broncos are getting a highly productive player who, when he had a chance to really start and develop, he kicked ass. So he's 21 too. So the growth potential is through the roof. It's not like he's a 22, 23 year old player who's not necessarily strong enough to play right now. He's 21. So by the time that his rookie contract's up, he's only going to be 24, 25. So that in itself is a good thing as well.
You were talking about the family dynasty legacy. It's a good thing that Mike isn't here right now, because we had a little bad news with Luke McCaffrey last night at the end of the third round. So
yeah,
fill us in on that.
Yeah, so Adam Peters used to be in the Denver Broncos front office under John Elway's regime. And then he was with Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch with the San Francisco 49ers the past couple of seasons before getting promoted to general manager of the Washington Commanders. And you kind of see an archetype there. You see the connections. The McCaffrey family knows everybody involved in these organizations. And with the 100th pick last night, the last one of the third round, the Commanders took Luke McCaffrey out of Rice. So he is no longer an option for Broncos country. I think that's going to upset a lot of people, but there are still a lot of good wide receivers available on day three. So if the Broncos want to get Bo Nix a weapon and upgrade that position group, there are certainly players available to do that. I'm not going to cry over spilt milk. McCaffrey would have been nice, but you can't get everybody you want.
See, I already have a number 87 McCaffrey jersey, and that would have been very nice to have that mean, you know, to be back in like the primary, not that it's out of the rotation, but, you know, to have an active player rotation with that jersey would be nice again. It's been a long time. so it's a bummer, but Chris, so you're talking wide receiver. Is that a direction that you think they'll go in day three?
I think so. As of right now, the Broncos have, pick 121, which is their fourth round selection. They've got pick 136, which is the first pick at the top of the fifth round. But then in the middle of the fifth round, they've got 145 and 147, not quite back to back, but that's a sweet spot just inside the top 150 where they could draft a guy in 207, 256. I have a couple of wide receivers rated very highly for the Broncos entering day three of the draft. In my 2024 mock draft for the Denver Broncos, I had them moving up for UCF's Javon Baker, which would take one of the fifth round picks and their current fourth round pick to move up to the first pick in the fourth round to get him. I really like him because he can play inside and out. He's very strong and he's very physical, which are requisites for Sean Payton at the position. Sean Payton loves operating on those short routes, those intermediate routes, getting the ball out quickly. And those are really things that he as a player excels at. So I think the immediate connection with Knicks would be tremendous there. So he's a player that I'm looking at. Another one would be Florida State's Johnny Wilson. He was actually with Jane Daniels at ASU when Herm Edwards was coached there before Daniels transferred to LSU and Johnny Wilson went to Florida State. He's like 6'6", 235 pounds, and he's quite quick. I know the Broncos are interested in upgrading that position group. He's someone who could come in and just be a versatile chess piece in the offense. A couple of years ago that we took Greg Dulcich out of UCLA, but he hasn't panned out as planned. So getting someone with that sort of size would be good for Bo Nix in the red zone as a player who can and convert on third downs in important situations. If you're looking for maybe a little bit different flavor of a wide receiver in this year's draft on day three, Jaquan Jackson out of Tulane, who was Michael Pratt's favorite target, would be a good guy to have. He's got some serious juice compared to the other two guys I mentioned. He's really tremendous, accumulating yardage after the catch. And with the Broncos offense and what we're going to see with Bo Nix and Sean Payton here, we need those guys who can get the ball quick and then make the most of it after the catch. So I would like him and be interested in him at the fourth round selection or fifth round selection. So yeah, there's some good wide receivers on the board, and I just have to mention them. Troy Franklin was Bo Nix's top target at Oregon the past couple of seasons, and he's still on the board. I'm not sure why he's falling, but a lot of players, a lot of people across the league thought he was like a top 100 pick or a top 75 guy, but he's still on the board. So maybe, just maybe, the Broncos make a move to get Bo, one of his best friends in college. We'll see.
So on Thursday, we also talked about how Brock Bowers went to the Raiders and kind of lamented on our own tight end situation. You mentioned Greg Dulcich, who is probably injuring himself as we speak. And the Troutman.
He just pulled a hammy watching the show.
He's so angry. He pulled a, yeah.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Yeah, I don't know. Anyway, the Trout man is our tight end as well. So do you see any movement on the tight end front today?
I think it's also a position. I mean, running back, wide receiver, and tight end. If you just drafted your quarterback of the future, get him some friends. Get him some weapons. Get him some targets. If you have four picks in the next 50 in the draft, go for it. I mean, that's three positions. You have four picks. Draft a running back, draft a wide receiver, draft a tight end. Make that rookie quarterback as comfortable as possible, getting guys that he can play with, hopefully, for the next, not just 4 years, but maybe these guys will finally be good and we can extend them, and they're here for the long term. There are some quality options available. Jatavion Sanders out of Texas. A lot of people had him ranked as like a top 64 guy. I'm not sure why he's falling. Maybe off the field, maybe medical. Those are the two things of players who are so highly consensus ranked by whether it's a Dane Brugler, a Lance Erline, or a Daniel Jeremiah, or any of the Draft Network people or PFF. If these guys are ranked highly and they're falling, usually it has something to do with, hey, there's some character concerns there off the field stuff, or hey, there's some medical information that, you know, the average Joe like me is not privy to. He would be an interesting pick. Cade Stover out of Ohio State is another option. I had us getting Theo Johnson out of Penn State, who had one of the best RAS relative athletic scores in the history of the combine. He's 6'6", 256. So he has a build like Adam Trautman, a bigger physical guy who can play in line. But with his explosive traits, he could be a real big threat as a receiver as well. So those are three names that I'm really looking at, you know, in the fourth round here, that if they're available, I wouldn't be surprised if the Broncos took them. So yeah, absolutely look at upgrading the tight end position. I'm trying to think that we've got Nate Adkins, who was an undrafted free agent as well, Greg Dulcich, Trautman, and then Lucas Kroll, I think, was at Pittsburgh when Kenny Pickett was there. He's a big guy and an athletic freak too. So there's potential there, but it's certainly something that is a long-term need for the team, just given the fact that a lot of those guys haven't shown much.
One of the things I also like about day three of the draft is once it concludes, it's an all-out rush for the undrafted free agents. And so it's kind of like the Wild West. Do you have any insight on where we would go with any of those players or anything to look for following the draft?
All I can say is, if you haven't hit up Mile High Report and looked at their draft interest tracker yet, Scottie Payne did an incredible job amalgamating every pro day visit, every combine visit, like every East-West Shrine Game guy. There's a list of like 100 some players that he's put together. And if you scroll through the list, you can kind of see a grade, like this is a first round guy. This is a second round guy. This is a day three early guy. There's a lot of names in there that the Broncos have brought through for 30 visits and visited with. So if you want to look at a PFA designation, priority free agent, or UDFA guys, they've spent a time on a lot of those guys. I couldn't tell you who's not going to get drafted in the next, oh gosh, what is there, 157 more picks to go? So go to milehighreport.com, go to the draft interest tracker, and you'll see a lot of guys there. But excuse me, but basically you're looking for camp bodies. You're looking for guys who maybe excel in a particular fashion. I wouldn't be surprised to see them with the change in the league rules as far as the kickoff goes. Look for somebody that's a return specialist. It's one of those things that these guys aren't going to be ready to play right away, but do they have any sort of plus trait that kind of makes the mark to where you could see them maybe being a contributor in the league sometime? I mean, it's very rare to get a player in undrafted free agency that makes a hell of an impact, but the Broncos have actually been quite good at it over the years. I think, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think 18 of the last 20 years they've had an undrafted free agent make the team.
It's right up there. Yeah. If not more frequently than that.
Jaleel McLaughlin was last year's, right?
I can only think of one year, really, that we didn't get a undrafted free agent on the team.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I you know who the coach was then? Pretty sure it was
Vic McDaniels.
No, I'm pretty sure it was Josh McDaniels.
No, I think there's been a recent one, like a Vance Joseph or Vic Fangio year.
Yeah, there was during those COVID years, there was like a weird fluke where we didn't get one.
Yeah.
Which is probably why we've been so terrible.
Probably.
Chris, is there any position that you would be upset if the Broncos didn't address it during the draft?
Not really upset, but disappointed if they didn't get someone up on the defensive line. Yesterday was kind of Murphy's Law for the Broncos in that regard. Obviously, I talked about pretty much all offseason, like, hey, that 76 pick might be a good place to get one of the top defensive linemen. But like 10 of them went off the board by that time. So there wasn't really anybody left. But there are a couple other players that I know that the Broncos have shown interest in on the defensive front. The main one would be Fabian Lovett Sr. out of Florida State University. He's more of a Mike Purcell type player, really good at occupying space, occupying gaps, really good in run support. And obviously, if anybody wants to reminisce on the Miami Dolphins game last season, we had some trouble stopping the run. So a player like him would be good. It's hard to get upset anymore. Obviously, you guys are kind of used to the Hart's meltdown during the Elway drafts because he never picked anybody I liked. And, you know, he had over 80 picks in his time as GM, and he extended six of them. So that's pretty notoriously bad. I'm just hoping that the Broncos really don't overthink it. I think that George Payton's been a good evaluator of talent, and I think that Sean Payton with Mickey Loomis in his time with the Saints has shown that he can do a pretty good job in that regard. One of the things that would upset me is, you know, I'm no pro scout, but I've been doing draft stuff for a long time, and I see a lot of teams reaching on players that don't play a lot, but they have really good athleticism. Just get good football players is all I'm hoping for on day three.
Fair. That's actually what I'm looking forward to myself.
Chris, I'm curious if there are any, which running backs you think would be good to add to the Broncos, to Peyton's offense?
Yeah. Interestingly enough, I'm glad you asked that. During the Future Broncos podcast with Tim Lynch last week, I talked about three of them: Jalen Wright out of Tennessee, Ray Davis out of Kentucky, and Isaiah Davis out of South Dakota State. They're still all on the board right now. Every one of them is a little bit different. Jalen Wright's more of that Alvin Kamara type player who's got really home run threat speed and a really good receiver out of the backfield. Ray Davis, jack of all trades, but a master of none, but he's incredibly efficient with what he does. He would be a good pick for the Broncos. And then my personal favorite out of the group, and it might just be some local bias, is South Dakota State's Isaiah Davis. He's a hammer running the ball north and south. He averaged over about 7 yards per carry in 4 years with the Jackrabbits. Their running offense was one of the primary reasons why they won back-to-back FCS national championships. So he would be a really good guy to add to the offense. I know that you think about Reggie Bush, you think about Darren Sproles, you think about some of those pass-catching backs in Sean Payton's offense who catch the ball as well as run it, but he's always had a hammer, whether it be Chris Ivory, his name's evading me, Mark Ingram, who was with Alabama in the Saban era all those years ago. You need guys who are sound in between the tackles, running isolation plays, running in those power and gap schemes. So I think Isaiah Davis would be a tremendous fit. I know that they've been local here in South Dakota taking a look at him. They've done a lot of work on him. I think that he might be there at 136, 145, or 147. So if they came away with him, that would be awesome. So
at this point in the draft, would you say when we get to our number that we just go with the best player available, or would there be positions that you think we should prioritize, like offense first or the defensive tackle?
I think when teams go up there and say, hey, this kid was the best player on our board, I'm going to call bullshit on that a lot of the time, because you are looking to address specific needs. And day three of the NFL draft is kind of really where position coaches and scouts, if a GM is amicable, we'll let them have their say and say, hey, this is why this guy should contribute to the team, because it's the scouts that are out there all season on the grind. So I think that, you know, George Payton has kind of shown in his time here, he's really about collaboration. He's really into analytics. He's really into having a groupthink mentality when it comes to approaching the board. So I think that the focus for the Broncos, it's not necessarily going to be, well, this was the highest rated guy on our board. The focus is going to be getting good football players that they believe can contribute in some sort of fashion this year. Because if you look at the roster, we've got some holes pretty much everywhere. And
everywhere.
Another thing, correct.
What happens when you don't have draft picks?
Mm-hmm. Correct, but we do have 72 quarterbacks on the roster, so we're good there.
Right. And I just like to mention that for coaches, having a special teams emphasis and players that you might not think are going to get a lot of offensive snaps or a high volume of targets, whether it's a receiver, tight end, or running back, but they can come in as a returner, they can come in and be on those units. Teams value that experience as well, and the Broncos had lost a few players this offseason who are special teams players that they need to replace in that regard. So on day three, you're also looking towards special teams because we can't expect all these young guys to come in and, you know, get 1,000 yards receiving. That's just unreasonable. So you're looking for guys who can just contribute in any way. So I think that their approach will sort of be with those things in mind rather than just the best player on their board.
And it's funny because I noticed this year, and I hadn't paid attention before, obviously, when Peyton was at the Saints, but special teams is a big deal to him. I mean, he would comment on it every game, you know, in the post game presser. And so I get a sense he will definitely be looking at players with an eye for their contribution to special teams.
Oh, definitely. Most definitely. I mean, it's, you got to be physical on special teams, but you have to be smart too. You have to be disciplined because it's a kickoff and you take the wrong angle and you miss. Well, that's either going to result in a super big gain for the other team that puts your defense in a disadvantaged situation, or it could be housed and you're down 7 points.
Lickety split.
Like, and we don't want that. And it's just one of those things that over the years that we've seen since the post Super Bowl 50 era, you know, there was improvement last year with who Sean brought in to help in that regard. But the prior, I mean, it's been abysmal. So,
I mean, last year was like the first year we had that our special teams really had a positive impact. Like made a difference in a good way as opposed to, you know, fucking us.
It's been an afterthought.
Yeah.
No. Oh my gosh. Well, the day three starts here in about 40 minutes. I'm excited. I'm ready to turn the page on last year. Like, we're going to get close. I mean, we're going to have how many picks do we have today, Hart?
Six.
So we're going to add six more players, maybe more, maybe a little fewer. Who knows? I mean, we could move around a little bit. It could be very exciting.
Yep, definitely. I mean, I think that we'll see the Broncos. I'll just give a quick prediction here. I think that they're going to use their 121 and one of their fifth rounders to move up and get a very high ranked player on their board. Whoever that may be, I don't know, but I have a feeling that it would be an offensive skill position player, be it a running back, a wide receiver, or a tight end. That just makes the most sense. You drafted a quarterback, go and get him a friend. Then the Broncos kind of have a little bit of a gap in selection. So they've got 121, 136, 145, and 147. But then it's like 207 and 256. So after 147, they've only got two picks in the next 100. And I know a lot of teams necessarily don't care about that this year because so many good prospects went back to college because they can get more money on their NIL deals than they would as a day three. So,
isn't that crazy?
Well, and good for them, though, because the universities make a shit ton of money off those kids. So I have no problem with it. But unfortunately for the league itself and for teams looking to bring in these young men to, you know, be cornerstones of their team for the future, I can go back to school and make just as much money as I would on the entire length of my rookie deal and hopefully get better and raise my draft stock. Or I can go into the NFL and, you know, make $400,000 a year.
So, right.
Which isn't
I get it. I would love an opportunity to go and be a college kid for one more year. Are you kidding? Like, go for it and make the money on the side. Absolutely. I totally get it.
Too bad I wasn't a good athlete, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. Well, guys, I think we're going to wrap it up here. This has been Something Something Broncos. Lori Lettimore Volkman and Christopher Hart of your Mile High Report. Be sure to follow them on Twitter. What Lori, what is your Twitter? What is your X? Excuse me.
It's my X at DOCLLV, Doc LLV. Before we close, I'm just gonna shout out to Tony Scheffler for the most awesome intro.
That was awesome.
Oh my gosh. I was so blown away. He was wearing a cool jacket. He got in everything. Like he highlighted Mike Shanahan. He put in Rod Smith. He named off Champ Bailey and a bunch of,
Al Wilson. And,
yeah. It was like, he did it in like 20 seconds. Like they should have him do everything from now on.
I had no idea he was such a Broncos guy. We traded him away and everybody loved him and then he was gone. And then it's like, we haven't really thought about him since. And holy cow, like
he's
Mr. Bronco. I had no idea. So his stock is up certainly with me. Yeah. Gotta say.
I'd like to speak about that because one of the things is we look at all these prospects and what they can do to contribute to the team, but the Denver Broncos were the team. Mike Shanahan was the guy, I believe, a GM with Ted Sundquist who picked him. There are a lot of people who are forever grateful for the organization that first gave them that opportunity to come into the league. So it was great to see Tony do that. I want that jacket. Tony Scheffler. If you're watching this, Tony Scheffler, hit me up on Twitter at Topher Hart. Let me know where you got that jacket. I want to buy one like that. That was special to see because, over the years, you hear about players. I mean, even for a little while, think about Al Wilson back in the day. He had that bad neck injury with the Broncos, and I believe he got traded to the Giants, but the trade got nixed because of the medical thing. That he isn't in the Broncos ring of fame for what he did is just a disgrace. I believe Al Wilson isn't in there, correct? Or is he?
He is not.
The
Ring of Fame?
Yeah, he absolutely deserves to be.
He does. That goes back to, a beef, right? With John Elway, maybe?
Because he was injured, and I don't think the Broncos wanted to give him a contract after that neck injury, but they tried trading him for a seventh-round pick. And I'm sorry, anytime that you have a player who's with your team for 8 years, it sucks. And the late, great Demaryius Thomas, trading him to the Jets. I think trading Ryan Clady to the Jets. I hate seeing that happen because it's a very rare and beautiful thing in the NFL to see a player just live out his legacy with one team. I think about it even with baseball. My favorite player growing up was Ken Griffey Jr. My heart was broken when he went to the Reds, but his dad, Ken Griffey Jr. Sr., also coached with the Reds, so it makes sense. But it's super awesome in sports. Think about Tim Duncan in the NBA. He was with the Spurs for 20 years. That's awesome. Al was one of those situations where he did so much for the team for how that all played down. And that's the shitty business side of the NFL and the dark nature of it, that he could do so much in the community on the field for the team to kind of just be cast out like a leper sucked. So Al Wilson needs to be in the Ring of Fame.
He does. I think I pound that table every year that we do the Ring of Fame post, but put him in there.
Yeah.
Okay. As we log off for today, just real quick, we had a comment from Facebook. How do you guys feel about the picks we have gotten so far? Give a letter grade on how we've done. Lori.
I'm going to go A. I might be one in the minority, but I was happy with the Bo Nix pick. I was not unhappy with taking him at 12 because I felt like we didn't really have a choice if we needed to get a quarterback. And Jonah Ellis seems like a baller, and I'm excited. So far, I might be grading a little high, but that's okay. It's what I do. A.
Jess, did it cut out?
I don't know. Well, why don't you give your grade? Are you and I the only ones talking?
Well, I see that Jess is frozen right now. So if anyone's watching the stream still, there might be some technical difficulties. Jess is frozen in time.
All right.
I would give the Broncos a solid B thus far. I'm not going to give them an A. Oh, Jess, it looks like you're back.
I went away for a moment. I blacked out. It was beautiful. And you were there.
I would give it a solid B thus far. They only had two picks in the top 100, and they came away with their quarterback of the future, and they came away with an edge rusher who has a lot of athleticism potential. That's a pretty good start. So I'm feeling pretty good about it, and they've got six picks today, so maybe that will raise the overall grade by the end of it, but I feel pretty good with what they did. I mean, they could have done worse, but they got a quarterback, and they added to a position group where there's going to be two of their four top players hitting free agency this next year, so not bad.
I'm going to hedge, and I'm going to give an incomplete because I always get excited.
You can't do that.
I was burned by Drew Lock and Paxton Lynch, and we saw enough of them, but we didn't get to see enough of them early to really get excited. And so, rather than heap praise upon the Broncos, I want to see how we do with these new players before I give a grade. Like, let's wait. Let's not get so excited, Lori, about the season that could be. Let's see what the season is.
Well, let me say, I don't feel like we're going to the Super Bowl or maybe even the playoffs. Like, we're going to have a young team, a young quarterback. But I think, as Mike said the other day on our podcast, I don't mind sucking as long as we have a direction. Like, when you rebuild, that's what happens. It takes time. And as long as we have a direction of building towards something with, you know, and adding good players and filling holes along the way, you know, I can take it. I can do it next year.
All right, guys. Draft starts in 33 minutes. Get ready. It's going to be awesome. And be sure to follow Mile High Report for all of your exciting draft excitement. That's it. So Lori Lattimore-Volkman, Chris Hart, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you. Go Broncos.
Go Broncos.